Welcome to Salem First Assembly Podcast. May this week's message by our guest speaker be a blessing to your life in helping you to grow in your understanding of God's Word, strengthen your faith, and equip you to become all that God has created you to be.
Let's put your hands together for our own missionary, one of our own, Missionary Schuster. Last time he was here, he had his family with him, with his girls. And got to hear the ages of the girls. It's amazing how these kids grow. Yeah. We get younger and younger, and these kids get older and older. We feel for them, don't we?
That's right. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you. Welcome once again.
Amen. Amen. Well, don't you, church, if I encourage you, don't you love your pastor? Amen. Come on. I remember very well being here just not too long ago. It's been a few years, but not too long ago. And I just really enjoyed our time. Our family enjoyed our time, loved it here. And we are truly your missionary family. I got a picture up here. Check this out. This is what all my girls look like now. And my wife, I know it's hard to tell, but she's in the middle, okay, because she looks so young. And men learn. That's a good one to learn on. Okay, but this is it. My wife, Leah, in the middle. And I prayed for girls, and God gave me three girls. I just wanted girls. I wanted daddy's girls. So Emily on the left, she's 21. Next is Caitlin. She is, I'm bad here. I think she's 16. And she may be 17, but... And Lily's 19 on the right. And so I just thank God for my girls and love them so much. We all are missionaries. Assembly of God sends you out. You're all missionaries. We've been in Japan for about 13 years. And that's where we've been serving. Pretty much the girls grew up there. That's home to them. And they loved Japan. Not all was easy, but there's always a lot of challenges. But truly, they look back at Japan it's good. We've been in Iwakuni, Japan, again, for 13 years. Our main ministry there is to our American military. And so we basically are planting churches outside the military base, American military base. So, but we also ministered to Japanese. And so... We had tremendous ministries, English cafe, food pantry, Bible studies, and also we taught Japanese to the Americans. But we did orphanage visits and reached out to the bar district that was there, and so a lot of other ministries besides our American military. But that's our heart, is the American military. Thank God for our military. Amen. And. We enjoy a lot of freedoms today, we do, and that is because our military continues, just even every week, it seems like, but even this week, that men and women are still giving their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy every day. And if you follow a lot of military websites, there are young men and women giving their lives still today, still in the fight. And so I thank God for our military. And this is our heart, this is our passion, and this is where we've been. And you're going to hear a lot about Japan and the military today. I want it to be a blessing to you, because a lot of you have been giving, right? You've been serving, you've been giving for a long time, okay? Since I've been gone, you've been giving to us and serving here in the church. And so I want to share stories with you, and I hope those stories today are like a gift to you. To say, hey, this is worth it. Those things that my pastor talked about today, the faith promise, this is actually worth it. This is a good investment. If your mind is very financially focused, this is a good investment. And just for the, even if you did it for this one young man in our church, it was worth it. Our whole last term was worth it for one young man that walked through our door. He was a Japanese young man in his 20s, and he's actually an accountant. And he was learning English. His English was very good. Single young guy, early 20s, and walked through our door of the church, and he says, "I don't know why we're here. My staff was prepared, Brian, and they said we know why you're here." But isn't that amazing to walk through and say, "I don't know why I'm here," but our people And Curtis said, hey, God has a plan for you right in the first few minutes he walked through our door. Came in. His name is Nosuke. He became a part of our family, not of our church family, but my family. And this young man began to investigate this gospel. And actually, he investigated it for a year. 1 year, and it's a very short amount of time for a Japanese to study these scriptures. And he studied this for a year. And I, no joking, I think he asked probably 100 questions, easily 100 questions. And it was amazing in that year period of time. And he was searching. He wanted solid answers. He was a smart, educated young man. And Nosuke, it was really interesting that there were some pretty challenging questions he asked. I had to come back to him often. And it is it okay? I mean, isn't it okay, church? If you don't know, tell the people, hey, I have no clue, but I'll come back and give you an answer next week, right? And man, you have a great pastor there. I mean, you can search this out on the internet easy enough, questions. But I used to do that with this young man because he asked so many hard questions. And eventually, he had one last question in his life. And he said, Scott, I'm really concerned about my dad. My dad, you know, it's Buddhist traditions and not necessarily active Buddhists, but they had Buddhist traditions. And he said, I'm concerned about what my dad will think. I was saved, and I was the only Christian in my family, and I'm the only one that went to church. I know what that meant. And what would my dad think? I'm concerned, and because he was the only son, and he had a lot of responsibilities in the family. And so I remember sitting in his car and praying for this meeting with his dad that was going to take place. This was like the last question he had before he made a decision for Christ, and this was huge. And I said, well, let's just pray. Let's believe that when you go up there, that God will just soften your dad's heart. He'll accept you. And that's exactly what happened. He drove up to near Tokyo, and he said, Dad, I'm thinking about getting baptized. I'm thinking about becoming a Christian. And it was an amazing thing. This very Buddhist family, not so much Japanese, or Japanese are not so much active, but this very Buddhist family, this father said, you know what, son, you're a good son, and whatever you want to do, just all I ask is that you take care of your sister, that you don't forget about your family, don't forget about your sister. And he came back so excited, and shortly after that, Nosuke, who was asking questions for a year, that walked up to our door and said, I don't know why you're here, made a decision to follow Christ, and he was baptized in a local river. It was an amazing time. This young man, actually, he went through a discipleship process for 1 year in English, which was so impressive to me. But he was discipled for 1 year after that decision to follow Christ. And he was the fastest growing disciple I've ever seen in ministry. He actually tapped me out knowledge-wise. And I said, I'm just a simple pastor. I said, I went to Bible college, but man, you've tapped me. And so I said, the only thing that's left for you, I mean, you have to go to Bible college because you have everything I can give you. And it was an amazing, in 1 year, it was just so powerful what God did. Excuse me. And a church, can I encourage you? It's good. Nosuke is a Christian today making an impact in Japan because you sent missionaries. Praise the Lord, church. This is very, very real. We in Japan, we became known as a place of change. And so at the highest level on the military base, the greatest compliment, which was not meant to be a compliment, it was actually to chase someone away from our church. But the greatest compliment someone paid me that I never met, a very high level commander on the base, said, do not go to Rock Point Church or you'll be changed. We were known at the highest levels on the base as a place of change. This person I never met. And I said, if we were known at the highest levels on the base as a place of change, then we're doing something right, all right? We're doing something right. So, church, you sent us, and I want to bless you this morning. Is that okay to get into this today? Is that all right? And that's where we need to be. I can share a lot of stories. I'm going to share more with you. But today I want to share how to deal with a lack of faith. What appropriate message this month, this week. Amen, church? How do we deal with a lack of faith and believe God beyond what we think is possible? All of us have these things. If it's health issues, financial, job, college, career, whatever it may be, we need faith in our own ways, and not only in missions. That's great. This is your theme today, this month. But missions, we need faith to believe God for to be able to give that faith promise. We need to believe God to give our tithe, all these things. But we struggle with a lack of faith. We do. Doesn't matter who you are. I'm going to tell you stories this morning where, man, I tell you, there's times in my walk where I said, God, as a pastor, I said, God, I'm finished. I said, it's too much faith. It's too much work. I'm tired. This is too difficult. And I'm going to share with you a little bit later how God came through in some amazing ways. But I'm going to be in Matthew 17. We have to get into the Word. Matthew 17 is about a boy with a demon. We're going to read just a little bit of it. But this is key. I want you to know this or remember this. Three of Jesus' disciples were with him when he was transfigured. Matthew 17. So transfigure means he showed his deity, who he was. So he became bright white, his clothing did, his face shined. And possibly, so there were three with Jesus when he was transfigured, when he became bright white and showed who he was. But possibly nine were left behind dealing with this demon-possessed boy. Let's read it, verses 14 through 18 of Matthew 17. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire and into the water. The book of Mark, if you read that, says that this happened since he was a child. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. So verse 17, Jesus was hard on his disciples. Think about this. The disciples were given the authority to cast out demons. Nine. This is like nine pastors together could not cast out a demon. This is kind of a big deal. Or nine elders in your church. I mean, nine of the strongest Christians in your church that you look up to, that you ask for prayer, they could not cast out this demon. And so a crowd formed, they were arguing, and then they presented it to Jesus. And Jesus was so hard. Listen to this. He was hard on them. This is for his disciples, and obviously a little bit more, but he's talking to his disciples here. Unbelieving and perverse generation. Imagine that. If nine of your greatest Christians in this church prayed for someone, they could not, that prayer could not be answered. Pastor stands up here and says, oh, unbelieving and perverse church. I mean, you probably wouldn't stay, right? And then he goes on, how long shall I stay with you? Imagine this. Take this, if this was real today. How long am I going to stay with you? I'm out of here. How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. This is real life. This is what's happening. Possibly, we don't know, but possibly nine disciples were there in this. And the fact is, and I have an outline here for you, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. That was a fact. Do you ever feel that way in life? Things seem impossible. I have been there so many times. I know you have too. But things seem so impossible. So I'm like we won't even consider it because we feel like a fool even to ask, even to bring it up on a prayer request on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, whatever. But we feel like a fool because it seems so impossible. And we have this feeling, like these disciples, that we couldn't do it. Matthew 17, verse 19. Listen to this. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, here they asked privately, why couldn't we drive it out? Okay? Why couldn't we drive it out? There possibly, if three were with him when he was transfigured, if possibly nine below, we don't know, but possibly nine below, and then this crowd formed, they're arguing with the disciples, hey, they can't cast out this demon. Okay? They couldn't do it. And so the disciples, man, they were discouraged. Think about that. Think about it, church. You're given the authority. I said this earlier. You're given the authority to do something, but you can't do it. You've been doing it, but at this moment, they couldn't do it. As you're reading the scriptures, you have to ask why. If they were given the authority, if they've been doing it, why can't they do it now? Those are the things that should come to mind as you're reading this. So if we go back just a little bit. Again, the boy's father came to the disciples and with his son. They couldn't cast out. Mark tells us that the teachers of the law and the crowd began to argue with the disciples about this boy. Maybe these disciples who had been doing wonders and amazing things have yet, I have been here, church, as a pastor. We've done things. We've grown things. God has done it through us. We've preached messages where people are saved, but there's this moment when we couldn't do it. Maybe these disciples felt a little ashamed or beaten. You ever been there, church? I've been coming to this church for 10, 20, 30 years, and sometimes when we pray, we can feel ashamed and beaten. Is anybody else in there? Come on, is anybody else there with me this morning? Okay. We can feel beaten, and that's exactly what's happened to the disciples. We've prayed. We've been to Bible college. We've taken classes. Now we can't do this. What is wrong with me? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What is wrong with me? I'm ashamed. I'm beaten. And maybe in that crowd, the teachers of the law, just like today it happens, someone comes up to you and says, where's your God? Is he weak? Did he not show up? Maybe that was taking place here. That they began to argue with the disciples to a point where they began to make fun of him. Your God is weak. You guys can't even cast out this demon in this boy. And so this argument is taking place. Maybe they're defeated. And I remember this time in my life where sometimes I felt defeated. And I remember in Bible college, if I go way back, I remember in Bible college, I haven't told this story in a long time, and just recently remembered it. And I remember when we were in need of food. Bible college, you don't have a lot of money. We were working part-time. I mean, there's times we needed things, like simple things like food. And so I remember this time I was like, God, I don't want to use credit. I don't want to go out and put food on a credit card. I want to see my God move. Is anybody else with me? Come on. Have you ever got so determined, so upset, passionate, however you think, I am not going to put this on a credit card because I want to see if this is real. Is anybody else there with me? I want to see if this is real. What Pastor Brian is preaching all the time, is this real? Does it actually work? Anybody else ask that question? Come on. Does this work? Is this Jesus alive? Does he see me? Does he hear my prayer? And is it going to happen? And that was me at this moment. And I said, God, I want to see you show up because I need food next week. And so this is what I did. Back in the day, right? I mean, we sometimes do, but back in the day when we were writing checks, right? We had a checkbook and we reconciled it in the checkbook, right? And so we had these checks, right? We wrote a check to buy things, right? And I know we do that sometimes today. And so we had this checkbook, right? And I was working with this guy again part-time. I was going to school full-time. And so I opened up my checkbook to this coworker and I said, look, there's no more money, because we reconciled in the checkbook, right in the register. I said, look, I actually showed him. There's no more money. I mean, I have a few dollars in there. I need money next week to buy a bunch of groceries. We're out. And so I told this guy, because I wanted to be a witness to him. So I told him, I said, my God's going to show up next week. And so, you know, you're all proud, and then you walk away, and you're like, yeah. And then you walk away, and probably like, oh, God, you got to show up, because I just told this guy you're going to show up, right? This is a real life, right? This is how it happens, okay? You have faith when you're talking to somebody, but back in your room, you're like, okay, God, I'm going to get on my knees, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray, because I just told him that you're going to do something, that you're real. And I want you to be real to my coworker. So the week came, as Bible college, maybe you guys do today, the mailbox was like awesome, right? And so you went to that mailbox, okay, Lord, what's in there today? You're hoping that there's something. Mom and dad send something, a friend, a church send something, whatever. But you're hoping something's in that little box, you know, when you open up your mailbox. And so anyway, it was an amazing time in life, guys. And I remember that week, right before we needed to go grocery shopping, I was praying. And I grabbed my key, opened up the little box, and there's a card in there. And I look at the front of the card. It's addressed to me. And we had been married recently, Lee and I. And so I was assuming it could have been a wedding card. I don't know, but it was a personal card of some sort. And the amazing thing, on the front, there were, where the stamp is, you know how the post office stamps it, right? It says the state where it's at, okay? But you know what the amazing thing is? I looked on the front, and it had been a while since we were married. But it had the correct address. This had three stamps on it. It was like three different states. I've never seen it in my life before. I said, how can a letter with the correct address go to three different post offices and then finally make it to me months later, exactly on the day before I needed to go shopping? Opened up that card, and there's a check for $40 in there. You don't know how quick I ran back to show my coworker. It was amazing. I was like, look, check this out. A check. My God is real. And he enabled that letter, however it happened, he allowed it to happen to go to three different post offices with the correct address. Blew my mind. I wish I would have kept it so I could show you today. But that is how our God works. Amen, church? This is how he should work in our life. It's no different. Pastor, missionary, Bible college student, worker in Salem, New Jersey. It doesn't matter. This is how God should work, but it takes us to trust in him. Amen, church? Yes. We have to step out. We have to have the action of having the faith of a mustard seed. That faith of the mustard seed is not given to us. It is what we do. So we read the scriptures, we pray, and we believe God and have the faith of a mustard seed. That is something we do, okay, that God does in us. So we have to believe God just like that guy where I said, hey, my God is going to show up at the end of the week. And that check came. We're in this place. We can't do it. We need to believe God because we may feel defeated. And let me tell you today, church, that is one of many stories. And I know you could tell stories too, church, today. Let me go on to the next point. Jesus gave, and it's their faith, Jesus gave a very clear answer to why they couldn't cast out demons. They could cast out demons in the past, but not now. And verse 20 tells us, because you have so little faith. Again, church, they were given this power. Okay, they were given this power already to cast out demons, and they had been working. But it wasn't that they weren't given the power, or the demon was too strong. but it was the disciples' unbelief. Because sometimes we face things that seem so huge to us, impossible. God, how are you going to come through? And man, that thing, when we use our eyes, our human eyes, and we look at it, and we're like, this thing is huge, right? There's no way. I'm not even going to pray about it, because if I prayed about it, I would feel foolish because it seems so impossible. But my question is, you, why can't we begin to pray for those things that seem impossible? How could I get into that college? How could I get that job? How could I get into that, whatever it is? But how could I get there? It seems so big. But here Jesus is saying it's because we have little faith. Okay? Disciples, same for us today. Sometimes God says no. We know that. Right? If you're like me, you've had God say no. Or you've had God say, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Where God says, I want you to struggle through this. I'm going to give you the ability to work through this. Sometimes God rescues you out of something, but sometimes he lets you row that boat, right? Just like the disciples, where they weren't going anywhere in the storm of life. And it says when he came to them walking on the water, he was about to pass them by. He wasn't even going to stop. He was going to the other shore. Sometimes Jesus allows us to go through things. My grace is sufficient for you. I want you to trust in me. But in this case that we're reading today, it was their faith was too weak. Church, I want you to see this. Prayer is what builds your faith and keeps it strong. If we're not in this word, if we don't believe that these verses have power, who's behind here has power, who's in here has power. And after we read this and we begin to pray in our devotions, if we don't believe that it's real, if we see it as words on a page or something my parents believe or my pastor teaches, if that's it, you will never see anything. You will never see these amazing things. You'll never have stories. Matthew 9:29 says this, according to your faith will it be done to you. There's something to this for us. We have to have the faith. We have to believe God. Okay? We have to believe it. Sometimes our level of faith affects the outcome. Sometimes a level of faith affects the outcome. Listen to this. There are people, guys, and I, as a pastor, I know this. I see it all the time. Pastor, I prayed and God didn't show up. They come to me angry. And I'm like, man, I haven't done anything. I'm like, what's, right? They're angry at God. They're angry at me. And they said, you know, man, God did not show up. I mean, you share stories with other people, but he didn't show up for me. And I ask the very simple, these are the simple things I ask. And sometimes God says no, sometimes he says grace is sufficient, sometimes it's a lack of faith. In that case where it's a lack of faith, I ask, when's the last time you read your Bible? Well, you know, I picked it up about 6 months ago. When's the last time you prayed? Well, the other day when I needed something, I asked God. I go back to the basics and say, are you doing those things, the basic things that God has asked us to do? Be in church. Be a part of giving. Be a part of serving in your church. All those things God has asked us to do. To be in this word. To be hungry for this. And to seek him in prayer, man. With all our heart. There are times where we're not doing the basic things in life. We're not depending on him. We're not believing in him. And then we pray, and then we get angry because he doesn't show up. How in the world can we blame it on God? Amen, church? How can we blame it on God when we haven't done those basic things that he's asked? I believe this is something similar that's happening here. I'm going to tell you a story. When I was in Japan, when we went there, we didn't have a nice church building like this, and not at all. We walked into the this building, and had old metal and chairs with the plastic seats that were all torn up. This old upright piano, probably out of tune. We walked back to the children's church rooms that was actually through the bar district. This was in Japan, where I just came from. We walked through the bar district to get to the children's church room. They built a couple bars. There was like a hallway with five or six bars. And then when you go into the children's church room, you actually had to chase out the cockroaches to have children's church. Praise the Lord, right? They weren't gone. You just scared them away. I'm like, who in the world is going to come to this church? Seats are torn. It's old. Everything's old. It's 10 people. They're discouraged 10 people. Who's going to come? And to say that, yeah, okay, cockroaches are cleared now. Children, come on in. I mean, who's going to be there? And I was like, God, you have to show up. Nobody's coming to this church. There's no life. Who's going to sit in those chairs? I mean, who? And so I called that 10 people plus my five. We had 15 on Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. We had church. And I was like, we're going into a fast. We're going into a 30-day fast, biblical fast, not a partial fast like a Daniel fast, but a biblical fast, water. That's it. And I said, we're going into a fast because God has to show up. Amen, church? If this church is going to grow, if people are going to come here, if we're going to find a new building, because we can't stay here in the bar district, it was good for ministry sometimes, but we needed something more, something bigger where there were no cockroaches. Come on, right? I said, God, you have to show up because I'm not good enough of a pastor for me to make this happen on my own. God, you have to be here. Amen? You have to be here, God. When is 30-day fast? Nothing happens for 30 days. I come to that 30-day. Last day, I had to add in some juices or something, smoothies, because I was hurting in that 30-day fast. I mean, my mind, my body, I mean, I was just a wreck. 30 days came, and I was waiting up to the last minute, and nothing happened. 30 days of sacrifice and fasting. My God didn't show up. Into that day, God and I had it out. Come on, anybody else there with me? Come on. Is everybody else there with me? I had it out with God. I was like, God, you called me here. I'm a missionary. First AG Salem sent me, right? Come on. They're paying good money for me to be here. I go on this 30-day fast. Nothing happens. Does anybody else talk to God this way? I mean, it's not irreverent. I'm not meaning it. But sometimes you wrestle like Jacob. Come on. God can take a hit, guys. Don't worry. He's tough. Just like the Marines I minister to, they can take a hit. Okay? Man. But at the end of that day, after I got all my emotions out, I said, God, whatever you want. Whatever you want, God. I'm your servant. I will do your will. And guess what? Why does God show up on day 31? The 11th hour of God. Why does he wait? Right? Lazarus, so many stories. Why does he wait? When you're hurting, when you're praying, you're trying to believe God, you're trying to do all the right stuff, but God's not showing. Year, 5 years, 10, he's not showing. But church, he's working behind the scenes. Go to Daniel. He's working behind the scenes. Daniel knows that. Sometimes prayer is delayed and the answer is delayed. Day 31, church. It's an amazing time. I have time to tell you the whole story. Entrepreneur calls me. I've just remodeled this building, prettiest building in town. I couldn't afford it. They ended up paying half the rent the owner did because they wanted me in their building. No deposit, move in. I went to a missions conference in Okinawa, south of where I was. Walked out of that church with one offering, $18,000. We got into a building, low rent. I brought $16,500 after expenses back to the church. And we had new chairs. We had a piano. We had sound equipment. It was amazing. That church grew. I found myself needing another building. I walked up to it, and I went into a shorter fast that time, 10 days this time. I was like, 30 days, that was rough, God. Can I just do 10 this time? And so on in 10-day fast, into 10-day fast, we were handed a paper for a building. I walked up to it, walked up to it. It was six stories. I was like, felt like a fool again, church, right? Just like I did before. I felt like a fool. And I was like, God, the rent I'm paying is going to pay just for the air conditioning in this building. Where are we going to get the rent and the other utility? Where are we going to get all this? There's no parking. It's an old factory. It looks like a factory. Six story. I was like, this is impossible, right? And so I called my supervisor. Long story, church. Called my supervisor. I gave him every reason why I should go in a house church, because it was easy. It didn't require any faith at all, right? I could live in the house, have church in the living room. Praise the Lord, we'd be good to go, right? Small faith. I told every reason to my supervisor. I said, I shouldn't be. This is just not it. This is not wise. Come on, you know your mind kicked. This is not wise. And it wasn't wise. It wasn't. It was foolish to get into something like this. And after I finished, my supervisor, been on the mission field a long time, said, Scott, you need to conquer your Goliath. And I was like, what? What are you saying? What do you mean conquer my Goliath? I just gave you 10 good reasons why I should not get in this building. And he turns around and says, conquer your Goliath. Hung up that phone and I said, what is wrong with that man? He had faith, guys. He had faith that I did not have. Let me tell you. We stepped in that building. The owner, this does not happen. I'm telling you, it doesn't. All those air conditioners were replaced, $8,000 to $10,000 a floor. The owner lowered the deposit of $25,000 to what we could handle. He lowered the rent payment on top of that, and then he said, in the middle of this negotiation, I said, I can't afford my house and this new building. The church doesn't have the money. And so he built me an apartment for free on the fifth floor. Did not raise my rent. It was an amazing time. We were in. Today, that church is fully remodeled. It's beautiful. People come by to take pictures because they don't see churches like that in Japan. Fully remodeled, debt-free, and let me say the church is full. Praise the Lord, church. Amen? Church. When we believe God for our Goliaths, when we do what Pastor's saying today, when we get out in the community and believe God when it seems impossible. I've been in this community for 20 years, 40 years. I've talked to everybody in town. You ever talk to someone like that, right? I know everybody. I invited them all to church. They're not coming, right? But I'm going to tell you, revival starts when there's one person that says, I'm going to have faith. You look in history, every great revival has started because one person says, I'm going to believe God for my community. I'm going to believe God when everybody else in my church says this town is too hard, we've already talked to everybody. Well, maybe that was 10 years ago, or 20 years ago you talked to everybody, but now there's a new generation that needs to be reached. It takes one to have this faith and say, we must do something. Even though we may have tried so many times. I know I'm running out of time here at church. Maybe God allows us a lot of things here. Let's go through this statement. I'm just going to read them real quick. The disciples were relying on what happened the week, the day before. We lose every time if we don't trust God daily. Well, I prayed yesterday. I've been a faithful elder for 20 years. But did you pray this week? Did you believe God? Is it living power that you have? That's what God wants us to be aware of, living power, daily anointing of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the disciples believed God yesterday, but they didn't believe him for the daily anointing that day, and that's why they couldn't cast out this demon. Maybe God allows us to fail or lets us feel beaten like the disciples to wake us up. Have you ever thought about that? My God failed. Well, maybe he failed. It seems like he failed, I should say. Maybe he didn't answer your prayer yet because he wanted you. Something to happen inside for you to get upset and say, what's wrong? Maybe he failed to get, or appeared to fail. Maybe he didn't answer your prayer is a better way to say it. He lets us fail, lets us feel beaten to wake us up. Because have we lost our sight of a Savior who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine? But I've invited my coworker 20, 30 times. But maybe it's 31 where he's going to say, now it's time. But we've reached out to our neighborhood for 10 years. We know the neighbors over here and there. Maybe it's this year when you get outside these doors and say, man, I haven't greeted you, man, and I got to apologize. We haven't been next door to bless you guys. Is there any way we can bless you around your yard, your house? What can we do for you? We have to apologize we haven't been back sooner. Maybe there's something like that that's going to take to reach the neighborhood. Just again, and again, this is only the answer here, and I'm going to close with this, only by prayer and fasting, Matthew 17:20. Okay. Why couldn't they drive this demon out? And here it is. Because you have, and I have that verse for you, Matthew 17:20. You guys go ahead. Thank you. Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, you may not see that or in some of your versions, or you might have an asterisk there with a note at the bottom, that this is only in some manuscripts. The early church included this verse there, even though it's not in every manuscript, and that means the last one, by prayer and fasting, because they believed in the early church that prayer and fasting went together. So they left this in the scriptures. But this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Okay? Church, the early church believed that prayer and fasting went together. You look at some of our church fathers, ones that started denominations today, some of our greatest people that Pastor and I quote, greatest theologians, 1600s to 1800s. You look at any of these, I call them the greats, and they fasted 2 days a week, two full day biblical fast, water only. And you look at pastors today, you look at churches today, we may have a yearly fast, a partial fast, like a Daniel fast, nothing wrong with that, especially if you have medical conditions, you're older, younger, you should be eating. But in scriptures, there is a biblical fast. And I looked in history and I said, I looked at the Old Testament, Esther, any of them, any of these great battles. What did they do before? They fasted. Before the fight, before tragedy was going to take place, they fasted. Not only prayed, but they fasted. I got a hold of this idea of weekly fasting. And years ago, I decided to fast 2 days a week, 2 to 3 days a week, full day fasts. And we began to see not only breakthrough in my life, but began to see breakthrough in the church, to where our church became known as a place of change. Okay? They became a place of change. People came in and they knew if they went to Rock Point Church in Iwakuni, Japan, that their life would be changed. And I told you the story, it made it to the highest level on the base that we were known for a place of change. People would not be the same if they came to our church. We had story after story. Marriage saved. Pastor, if you don't help me, my wife is gone this week. Multiple times. Alcohol, pornography, all these things that they were struggling with in life. Financial. We began to see God move. Church, I believe it's because of prayer and fasting that we began to get hungry for God, not only physically hungry, but began to get hungry for God and said, I am not satisfied with the way things are going. I want more. Have you ever prayed that? I want more. Is this all you have to give me, God? Is this it? I want more. I read stories in this book, and there's more in there. Paul says, pray for the greater gifts. That's what I do. Fasting brings breakthrough, church. I know it's 12:30. Can I have a couple minutes? Are you guys doing okay? Honestly, that's not good enough. Are you guys doing okay? Just a couple minutes, okay? I want to read one scripture, tell you a story, and then pray for you. I promise I won't be long, okay? Fasting brings breakthrough. Just hang in there with me. I know I'm going a little long, but listen to this. Fasting brings... Isaiah 58:6. Listen to this scripture. This is amazing. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. A yoke is something that would be around an animal's neck to guide them. Something that binds you, holds you back, that weighs you down, that puts a heavy load on you that you must pull. This is what this kind of fasting that God has for us, to loose chains, to untie cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. I found, as I began to fast years ago, that not only my church began to double with every move, but we began to see God do amazing things in the growth of our church. We began to see God, and it wasn't about buildings. We began to see God change lives in our church. And I believe it was this kind of fasting that broke the yoke, that brought breakthrough in my community, that brought breakthrough in my church. Weekly fasting, we did yearly fasts also, but I challenged my church to do weekly fasting. I'm going to close with this story. I'll be quick, okay? You guys will be blessed. This is my gift to you today. These stories are gifts to you. Knowing that your money goes somewhere, it's worth it to invest in missions. It's worth it to sacrifice Starbucks and lunch and give that $10. Whatever it is you choose to give to missions. There's this guy, a Vietnamese, that came to our church. He sat on the left side, and man, he was locked on. When you're up here preaching, you can see when people are listening. He sat there. He was locked on. I didn't know who he was. Church was over. He waited. You know, I was praying for people, talking with people. He waited. Finally got to him. We had a function that day. Actually, we did a yearly kickball tournament. It was awesome seeing these you know, commanders and pilots and, you know, all these other guys. And listen, everybody get out there and kick a kickball. It was awesome. It was incredible. But it was a big hit every year. And so, but I sat down with this young man and introduced myself. Barely got our names out. He spoke Japanese from Vietnam. And he said, I want this Jesus you preached about. First thing he said to me, I said, guys, you go take care of that kickball. I'm staying here. You guys can handle it. Take care. This guy went on to tell me, he says, I've never been in a church before. I had some parent, you know, grandparents, great-grandparents that went to church. I didn't know them. They died. And this is my first time in church. I know the name of Jesus. I've heard of him, but I really don't know anything about him. But I want him today. And so in a matter of a few minutes, I said, I can tell you who Jesus is. We're good to go. Let's broke out the scriptures. I said, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to the word. Shared the scriptures with him. He says, I want to accept Jesus right now. And you got to hear the end of this. But I accept Jesus. I want to accept him now. We prayed. He accepted Christ that morning. First time in church. It was an amazing morning. We later on baptized him in the same river we baptized that Japanese man that walked in and said, I don't know why I'm here. But I said, you got to tell me, how'd you get here? How'd you come here? You never been here. How did you get to here to Rock Point Church, right? He said this, you're going to be amazed, church. He says, well, he says, I'm here on a work, kind of a work permit. I'm learning construction road, you know, we're building roads. And so learning construction, and I'm going to take that back to Vietnam. And he says, we were working on the base, and I was driving by. I saw some crosses. I knew that much, you know. These were churches. And as I drove by these churches, he said, this voice told me, go to church. He didn't know what it was. He just heard a voice that said, go to church. He didn't know where to go. He didn't know what to look. He didn't have a car. He wasn't near those churches. He says, so the Mormons came by his door. And if you know, the Mormons are not part of the Christian church. Okay? And they have a lot of similar terms, but they don't hold to the same truths we do. Okay? So the Mormons came to the door, and he says, well, maybe this is church, right? And so he goes to the Mormon's church. He's sitting in the Mormon church. That same voice he heard as he drove by that said, go to church. That same voice said, this is not the church. Sitting in the Mormon church. He goes home, and he says, where do I go to church if that's not the church? That same voice said, this is not the church. His English teacher is practicing Japanese and learning both of those, Japanese and English. His English teacher hands him American magazine from the base. We have an advertisement in that magazine. The same voice that he heard two times before said, this is the church, go there. Rode his bike 45 minutes to get there. And he showed up and said, I want this Jesus you talked about. He told me to be here. It's a real story, church. It's a real story. This is what God wants to do. There are people in your community that are ready to hear what you have, what you know. And I'm going to tell you, I could spend the next hour telling you stories of hard, hurt people that came in angry with God. They would yell at me on Sunday morning. They were angry with God. And I didn't even know them. And every Sunday I would love them. And I would say, see you next week after he yelled at me, right? And man, these people would begin to be changed. They'd be saved. The hardest people, the angriest people. Can I challenge you, church? Those angry, hard people that you've talked to before, they need Jesus. And maybe the next step, maybe the last spiritual discipline that you don't have is fasting. Your pastor can help you. If there's reasons you can't fast, pastor can help you with this. You can message me. There's things you can do. But maybe the last thing to see breakthrough in your city, in your community, in your church, the last thing that you've not done is regular fasting that this early church practiced. Why don't you guys stand with me? I'm going to pray. I know it's late, and I appreciate the extra time, guys. I know you've been sitting there for a while. I appreciate that, but let me pray for you. Pray this has been a blessing to you, a gift to you, and I equally want to see our churches in America be blessed, places of change, and that's going to be my prayer for you this morning. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this good church that sat here a little longer than normal. And I thank you for that. But God, I realized as I drove into this city, that God, as I looked at the houses, the fields, the people, the cars that were on the side of the road with a flat tire or broken down, I saw people that needed Jesus. Most likely they needed Jesus. Not all those people I saw this morning. That they needed Jesus. Church, I ate breakfast at a local restaurant. I don't normally do that. I just decided to do that this morning. I rarely do that. But I ate breakfast at a local restaurant because I came here early. And I just saw people. They were watching the TV about the virus, and there was fear. I could hear it in their voices. And I said, God, we have the answers. Mm-hmm. We have the hope. Virus or not, alive or dead, we have hope.
Yes.
As I looked around, we have hope. And so, church, can I encourage you today? Believe God. Have this faith. It's up to you to choose to have the faith of a mustard seed and to believe God for your city, for souls. And I want to challenge you also, if you have not seen the breakthrough yet that you have wanted, where you have your own stories of breakthrough, your own testimonies, I challenge you. Consider prayer and fasting in the Old Testament where they saw breakthrough. New Testament, throughout time and history, they've had breakthrough, revivals because of prayer and fasting. Church, maybe this is the last discipline. Maybe this is it. It'll discipline your body. It'll discipline you in your life. Maybe this is what's needed. So I pray this over you. That there'll be one, two, three people that get a hold of this and they see breakthrough in First AG Salem. To know that we are not finished. This is not it. What we see is not all we're going to get. That there is more for us. God wants to do more. Encourage us, Lord. No matter how long we've been trying, we've been serving, we've been reaching out. Put that passion in us again for our city. And put it in us that we are not finished. This is what I pray over you, church. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.
We hope you were encouraged and blessed by this week's message. If you would like to know more about Salem First Assembly, you may email us at salem1assembly@comcast.net. That's Salem, the number one, Assembly@comcast.net. Check out our Facebook page at Salem First Assembly or go to our website at salemfirstag.org. We look forward in hearing from you. Join us again next week for a message from our guest speaker.